This is Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. Colorado used to have 22 sugar beet factories, located mostly in small towns on the eastern plains. Today, only one factory in Fort Morgan is still active, and many of the original refineries sit abandoned. The Colorado Brownfields Foundation is leading an effort to redevelop these polluted sites. In a few minutes, we'll hear from the town manager of Eaton, just north of Greeley. There, the EPA has pledged $2 million to clean up the shuttered Great Western Sugar Factory. First, the head of the Colorado Brownfields Foundation, Jesse Silverstein. Jesse, thank you for being with us.
Oh, my pleasure.
Sugar beets were big business in Colorado, huh?
They were huge. At one point in time, Colorado was the state with the largest number of sugar beet factories back in about the 1930s.
And there are a number of sources for sugar. Cane is one of them. Sugar beets are another one of them.
Sugar beets and corn syrup. And in fact, the production of corn syrup and cane sugar is what did in our sugar beet industry here in Colorado in about the 1970s.
In other words, those crops became a more popular source.
More cost-effective to grow and produce.
So the decline was in the 1970s. What was the real height then of the industry?
From the 1900s, basically, the first plant opened in Colorado, factory in about 1899. And so probably about 1920s and 30s through the 70s, it was a major agricultural product here.
You know, Jesse, will you just like rattle off a few of the other communities that have these old factories?
Sure. To the best of our research, we've identified 22 sites in the state that had been sugar beet factories. One is still running, and that's in Fort Morgan. Where the industry started is in Grand Junction, right around the turn of the 20th century. And quickly, factories started popping up in Rocky Ford, Loveland, Sterling, Windsor, Brush, in that very rich growing area on the eastern plains of Colorado.
So we go from being the state with the most sugar beet factories in the country to today having only one functioning, correct?
One functioning, yes, okay. In Fort Morgan.
Describe for us what the shuttered factories look like, feel like. What is it like to walk around one of these things?
Well, they're large sites. We're talking about 50 acres typically, give or take. A small portion of that, 5-6 acres or so, is industrial-looking building and railroad track, which is where they would process the sugar beets into sugar. And around that is the balance of the site, 45 acres or so, of waste, lime waste. Large piles of waste, 30, 40 feet high, consistency of talcum powder.
Of talcum powder.
Talcum powder.
Very fine, then.
Extremely fine.
And you said it was lime, a byproduct of the processing, huh?
The way they process these sugar beets, they grind them up, process them, turn them into a mash, boil them in water, add lime to it to change the pH, take the sugars out in some manner, and then the lime comes out in a hole and they put it out in the back lot as waste.
And they're just like just vast acreages of this stuff?
Vast acreages, say about 45 acres, typically could be 30, could be 50, depending upon the site, but large acreages. And back in the day, and still today, some people would say that, well, gosh, it's Colorado, there's lots of space, why not just put it out there? I think there's those of us that believe that these are valuable pieces of property, but for that waste being in place there that we should be reusing and communities should be taking advantage of.
So when you walk up to these piles, are they like taller than you are?
They are as tall as a 3- or 4-story building. And I have walked on top of the piles myself before, and you literally sink in up to your knees, if not your waist, depending upon where you go, and makes you wonder whether you're ever going to come out, actually.
Yes, a quicksand kind of sensation.
Almost.
Does the lime waste reduce the quality of the soil, or does it make it hard to build, or, you know, what are the obstacles there?
Because of its consistency and the amount of it, there's very little weight-bearing capacity to it, so there's nothing you can really build on top of it.
Not a good foundation.
Not a good foundation at all.
Now, lime waste is clearly an obstacle to redeveloping these sites, but there are others that have more to do with the buildings, the factories themselves.
The factories themselves, yes. Back in the day, these factories were built, as most factories were in that time, with a lot of asbestos. Asbestos was the magic material of the day for all sorts of properties, fireproofing,
insulating,
and other things, insulation. As these sites closed, of course, they were very tempting for vandals and to be used as midnight dumping sites. And so there's all sorts of unknown things that could be out there as well.
Well, Jesse, let's bring in Gary Karsten. He's the town manager of Eaton, which is about 7 miles north of Greeley. And there's an old sugar beet factory there. Gary, thank you for being with us.
Well, you're quite welcome. Glad to join you today.
Will you describe a little bit of the role of that sugar beet factory in town, a little bit of its history?
Our sugar beet factory here was built in 1902, the first one in Weld County, and it operated until 1970. And it's been completely abandoned since that time, so that's what's been 41 years now that it's been empty and abandoned. And in 1980, a gentleman bought it with the idea of maybe converting it to an ethanol-type plant. So he bought the one in Eaton, and he bought the one in Longmont. But that technology never panned out for him. So, again, it's set idle all this time. We have been trying to work with this guy for some time to do something with the factory. But, again, because of the cost of converting it to some other use or even trying to clean it up and make it a safe situation is so high, he was not able to do it. So through the tax process, we were able to acquire our sugar beet factory and 43 acres around it. And by the tax process, I mean the gentleman who owned it was not able to pay his property taxes or willing to. After so many years, that becomes a process where you can go in and buy the tax liens and own the property, and that's what we did.
And I'm going to ask you what that will allow you to do in a moment, but is this a plant, a factory you remember growing up with?
I do. I grew up in Eaton. I'm from this area. In fact, my father-in-law was the superintendent of this plant from 1960 to its closing in 1970, and he worked pretty much his whole adult life in the sugar industry, different factories throughout Colorado and Nebraska. So I'm very familiar with the factory itself and grew up with it and have seen it, you know, deteriorate to where it is now.
And it's just sitting there blighting the landscape, huh, that you've got those big lime piles too?
We do have the lime piles that Jesse spoke of. And, yeah, we've grown up around it. So geographically, this plant really is in the middle of town right now. And it's become quite an attractive nuisance, I think is what they call it. In fact, tragically, in March, we had a group of young men jump the fence and get in and climb around, and one young man fell through the roof and died the next day. So it's a real hazard to have these kind of things out there and not be able to do something with them.
Gary, do you ever walk on the site, spend any time there?
Oh, yes, definitely. Uh-huh.
Yeah, what goes through your mind when you're doing that?
Well, you know, I've been familiar with that site for so long. I can remember when it was a site that was very active and running as a kid growing up in Eaton, and the big smokestack belching out the soot that would cover the town in the wintertime, to where it is now. It's just a skeleton of itself, and it's gratifying, one, that we've been able to get as far as we have, but it's also, I guess, makes me a little apprehensive that knowing that maybe we've got a big project ahead of us here, but I'm also excited about what I think we could turn it into and maybe become an example for all the other sugar beet factory sites in the state. So there's a lot of different emotions as I walk through it, and I do that quite often.
Is Eaton getting any federal help for cleaning this site up?
Well, yes, we are. In fact, the bulk of the cost of cleaning this up will come from the Superfund money. And they're saying that could approach as much as $2 million.
And Superfund, we should say, is a program of the Environmental Protection Agency.
That's correct.
What does the town's acquisition, Eaton's acquisition of this land, this property, and what's on it, what does that allow you to do?
Well, it's opened up possibilities that are not available to, say, a private owner, in terms of even working with somebody like Jesse's organization and eventually the EPA and trying to secure funds to first clean the asbestos out of the factory. And then once the area is cleaned up, then we can go in and hire contractors to come in and take the building down And a lot of times they'll do that for the salvage value because these factories have a lot of steel in them that's still usable and at this point in time still has a lot of value to it.
And Jesse Silverstein from the Colorado Brownfields Foundation, what could these properties be used for? What are some of the possibilities here?
Well, the locations of these factories are very well suited for a number of industrial and commercial uses. They located for certain reasons, access to highway, access to rail, and access to housing, nearby housing, or housing that was created for these sugar beet companies when they were working. And so what we have is great locations adjacent to or within communities near downtown areas, access to downtown amenities, retailers. From a industry side, a commercial side, the access to highway and rail to different transportation links is very conducive to good commerce, and even the ability to move product or work products between both highway and rail, how they might communicate or link together.
Gary, what would you like to see on that land in Eaton? What would be the ideal?
Well, we've already begun work with Union Pacific Railroad. In fact, we've signed a three-year agreement with them to pursue what's called, and Jesse alluded to it, transload facilities, where you bring in train loads of cars of different products, download those onto semis, and vice versa. The semis can come in and load their products onto train cars and get those out. So we've been working on that, as I say, with Union Pacific Railroad. That's a use that's probably unique maybe to our site because of the way the railroad is set up. But beyond that, we're also looking at probably some warehousing-type facilities.
Jesse, this model in Eaton that, you know, the town took possession of the property, is that a model for how these sites, these factories, can be redeveloped?
Certainly, and I'd like to applaud the town of Eaton for doing that. One of the difficulties that we find in working with communities across the state is a reluctance of local government or local agencies to get past the stigma and liability of taking title to these properties. And oftentimes, because of the challenges, they don't want to take them on, but sometimes they're the only ones that can do it.
They can do it. Yeah, that's certainly what Eaton has seen. Well, gentlemen, thank you so much to both of you for being with us.
Oh, my pleasure to be here and talk about this important topic.
You're certainly welcome. Thank you for the opportunity to talk to you.
Jesse Silverstein is Executive Director of the Colorado Brownfields Foundation. Gary Karsten is Town Manager of Eaton, Colorado. You can see photos of old sugar beet facilities and of those massive piles of lime waste at cpr.org.